Turn to Luke chapter 1. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we can come together and gather in your name. Lord, we would call this a Christmas service. Lord, every time we gather, Lord, the focus is you. Lord, my heart is that you would speak your word to us this morning. That it would be a rhema word, Lord, that it would be a specific declaration, Lord, straight from you to each and every soul that is here this morning, Lord, that we would leave here changed. That we would leave here magnifying the Lord in everything that we do. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. We bless you this morning, Lord. Have your way, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 5, says, "There was in the days of Herod, I'll get my pronunciations right here. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God." There is a loud echo up here, and Joel is gone, so we're just going to... Can everybody hear me still? Do our own technical adjustments. Okay, so Zacharias is a priest. He is a Levite of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Okay, there is priestly lineage there on mother and father's side. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation leaped in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. If I'm not mistaken, I think I was here last Christmas. And there, it seems like every year this text is what really jumps out at me. I didn't realize where I was going until yesterday morning. Down here early and realized where the Lord was directing me. I ended up back in this text. And the immediate thing was, I think I was here last year, Lord, and I don't want to do the same thing again. But he had a new message. And then I went home and realized that on Thursday I had received a text from a friend that was Luke 1:37 and says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And I realized that God was giving me the confirmation that this is where I was supposed to be, and he gave it to me early. I just happened to look back on it. As I went back through and pondered this scripture, it always strikes me how Zacharias and Mary both question the angel when he speaks to them. But I looked a little closer at it this year, and it says in Zacharias, verse 18, it says, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? The angel comes and begins to speak and tell him, This is what's going to happen. These are the things that are going to take place. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? Meaning, according to what shall I know this? And it seems harmless at the time, but really there is a statement of disbelief that's in there. Whereby, according to what shall I know this? What sign are you going to give me? Isn't it sign enough that the angel of God is standing there speaking to him? The word of the Lord has just come forth. He's standing there. He feared it. The angel had to tell him, Fear not. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to speak to you. But he automatically is, What sign? According to what am I going to know that this is... How am I going to know this? That word know is the same word. There's so many words as we went through here that God has brought out and really had us focus on in the teaching of the tabernacle. That word know is gnosko. And if you remember, when we're looking at the mind, gnosko is experiential knowledge. There's a part of my mind that brings me, and I think when I'm faced with something, I come up with a plan of action. And gnosko is that knowledge when I've been obedient and followed that plan of action. Now I come into experiential knowledge. And he challenges them and says, according to what am I going to come into the experiential knowledge that what you speak is the truth? And I love it. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. His disbelief, had he kept going, his disbelief, he would have cursed his son. He would have spoke against everything that God had already declared from heaven on who John was going to be. And in the spirit of Elijah, and there's always a forerunner, before the presence of God shows up, the spirit of Elijah comes in. And he turns hearts men back to the Father. Because if the Lord just shows up and our heart's not in the right place, we're in big trouble. Okay? If you don't repent and begin to look at things different, if God just shows up on the scene, ouch. No thank you. It's time to listen to the spirit of Elijah. It's time to repent. We need to see things differently. Okay? But he shuts his mouth and makes him dumb where he cannot speak so that he cannot speak against that which God has declared. Okay? But his heart is, according to what? According to what? According to what sign? If you think about it, when Jesus was there, when he is on the scene in the middle of his ministry, who always questioned him? By what sign shall we know? The disciples, they just believed the words that he's saying, but it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees that began to question him. According to what sign? He's just fed the multitudes. He's just healed the sick. He's done all of these things, and they're still saying, how dare you claim to be the Son of God? By what sign shall we know that you are the Son of God? He's already there. It's the same heart that Zacharias has. It's that same heart that Zacharias is saying, according to what am I going to know? The same angel shows up and talks to the Virgin Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary said unto him, unto the angel, how shall this be? It's a little bit different. She said, how shall this be, seeing I am nothing? How shall this be, seeing I'm nothing? And listen to the angel's response. Because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of God shall overshadow you. The ability of God is going to overshadow you. This is a real personal thing. He begins to tell her, and then he gives her a sign. Because she believes into it, the Holy Ghost is going to come. She doesn't say, according to what am I going to know this? She said, how shall this be? Look at me. I haven't known a man. How am I going to have a child? I haven't known a man. He says, because the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. The difference in her heart. She's not challenging him for another sign. She's viewing, how can these things be in light of who I am? She's not asking for another sign. How can these things be? Because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of God, the ability of God is going to overshadow everything that you do. And then he says, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And that word, when it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible, is seeing that nothing shall be impossible at every declaration of God. There's a word missing in the English translation in there, and it's rhema word. It's the word rhema. And it's not translated in the King James, but when you look in the Greek, it is there, and it's according to, nothing shall be impossible with God according to the declaration of His Word. When He speaks something specific over someone, nothing shall be impossible in it.
When He gives you a rhema word, nothing shall be impossible in it. But what's the difference? So often, we hear God speak to us, and we say, according to what shall I know this? Lord, I just need a sign. Lord, if you just give me a sign, then I'll believe. Where Mary is believing what's there, what He's saying to her, I believe the things you're saying, but how can it be me? I haven't been with a man. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. She believes what the angel is saying and doesn't need another sign in order to believe it, but she looks at the things that He's saying in light of who she is and says, oh, how can this be? There's a whole lot of difference there, don't you think? She goes on. I love this because the first thing she does, she doesn't run to Joseph. She immediately goes to her cousin Elizabeth. She goes because God, He gave her the sign. This is, if you believe me, now look at this. Your cousin Elizabeth has conceived in her old age also. She goes to Elizabeth. It says, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice when the Holy Spirit came upon her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She immediately recognizes what's happening and blesses. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she blesses Mary and blesses the child. How often do we doubt? Somebody will come and say, I just feel like the Lord is putting this on my heart. Well, according to what am I supposed to believe this? Where's the sign? Where's the sign that it's going to happen? Rather than listen to the Spirit of the Lord, and maybe the Lord is calling on us to bear witness the same way that Elizabeth did, Elizabeth now stands as a witness and blesses her and blesses that baby that's in her womb. And whence is this to me? How is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. When it verse 42, she says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. It is that blessed, as we do, where we get our word eulogy. It is to speak well of. It's to speak highest praise of. Okay? It's to speak in a positive fashion toward someone or into someone. She says, blessed art thou among women. Highly spoken of are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Okay? That's the blessing. And this next part, when it gets to verse 45, and it says, and blessed, that's a different word. And it means happy is she that has believed. Happy is she that is believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. Why? Because she believed. She believed into what the angel had declared to her. She didn't challenge it and need another sign. She merely looked at herself in light of the word that was spoken and said, I don't know how this is going to be because of the condition that I'm in. But she believed the word that was spoken. And Mary, now that Elizabeth has stood in a witness, now Mary begins to speak. And she said, my soul does magnify the Lord, does make it great. When you follow that word back in the Greek, it's where we get our word mega, as in giant. She makes the word of the Lord, her soul magnifies the Lord and makes Him great and exalted and large. Why? Because she believed. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. How many times do we say, I just want to glorify God with my life? I just want people to see Jesus in me. Christmas time comes and we got family that comes together, and how many of us got family issues? And they always come out around the holidays. I mean, and we can mention this again next year, because by Tuesday, some of you will have more problems that we'll be talking about next year. It will just happen, because humans are human, right? It's going to happen. There's hurting people out there right now, which means they're going to hurt more people, and it may be you. But what's the word of the Lord to you today? Are we going to be those that are looking for another sign? Are we going to step back and say, well, God must be happy with me. Look, the blessings that I have. Or is your blessing based on your circumstances? Are you blessed because your refrigerator is full and because you have family come into your house? Or are you blessed merely because the Lord told you so? Is your blessed is a state of being not based on circumstances, but established by believing the word of the Lord. Blessed is a state of being not based on circumstances, but established by believing the word of the Lord. The angel is merely speaking, when you look in the Greek, it's speaking the word of the Lord, and he's speaking logos. It's just a spoken word. But Mary, where's it at? In verse 38, when she says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That word, she took ownership of it. It became rhema word to her. That word is rhema. And it is a specific spoken word to her. And she took ownership of it and she believed into it. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, the handmaid is where we get the word doulos. It's just in the female. It's doule. And it's doulos. It is a bondservant. She views herself as completely giving up of herself that she might serve the will of God. She declares it. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I surrender everything that I'm thinking right now and everything that I am in my will for my life and marrying Joseph and all these things. I surrender all of that. And what you have said, be it unto me. Is what she declares right there. Be it unto me. Be it being unto me. According to that word. According to that specific word. Be it unto me. Where's it at here? The angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Be it unto me. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Be it unto me. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Be it unto me. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Be it unto me. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Be it unto me. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Be it unto me. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Be it unto me. She believed into everything that he was saying at that time. And how many times when we get the word of the Lord, we want another sign? Lord, if you'll just pay my bills, then I'll know it's you talking to me. Anybody behind? Anybody a little broke right now? Being blessed is not based on your circumstances. Okay? Your empty bank account does not determine that you are not blessed. For the Lord has blessed you today. Okay? He knows your need. He knows all of it. And what He's asking you to do is believe into the word of the Lord, that He is your provision. Believe into the word of the Lord, that He shall give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it's coming for you. And you being blessed is not based on what's there right now. It's based on the word of God that is spoken to you. And you have to believe into it the same way that she did. You have to say, be it unto me as your word has spoken to my spirit and who I am. Be it unto me, O God, and I believe into that. Not based on what my bank account says. Not based on what I got in my wallet. Not based on how many presents I could buy for my kid. Not based on what I could do for my husband. Not based on anything else other than what your word says to me. I receive it, O God. Now I've released the power of God into my life. How do I know this shall happen to me? Lord, how do I know that I'm blessed? When I got nothing, Lord, in these circumstances, I got nothing. He says, because the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon you, and the ability of me shall overshadow everything that you do. Ooh. Think about that one. Brother, the Lord gave me a word for you this morning. I'm down here this morning, and all I can see is your face, and I'm down here just spending time with the Lord. The call of God is on your life. Okay? The call of God is on your life. And you have to come to that point where you just say, be it unto me. I don't understand. It's not based on your past. It's not based on anything else other than the Lord has spoken it to you. You have to receive it in your heart. Be it unto you. And I will stand as a witness. God has blessed you. You are highly favored among men in the eyes of God. Bless you, brother. Merry Christmas. Man, we sit in here blessed today. God has spoken in our favor. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's blessed me that I can even speak His name. He's blessed me that I can associate me, this defiled garbage of a man, I can associate it with the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Oh, be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me. Zacharias was not able to say, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Because he was still sitting around waiting for a sign. And what he was going to do is say, my circumstances glorify the Lord. Because he didn't believe it. And oh, the Lord still watched over him. The word says he was a righteous man. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But he did not know the grace of God. His relationship with God was based on his ministry as a priest. But he did not know the grace of God. And yes, God protected him. And God protected him by making him dumb where he could not speak against that which the Lord had spoken. And when that sign came, which was the birth of his son, then he bore witness of it. Then he did. God reserved him for that time. He was able to walk in it. God didn't cast him aside. God doesn't cast you aside because you questioned the word of the Lord to you before. But he wants us to learn how to receive the word of the Lord now. Every one of us has slipped and fallen. Every one of us has missed the mark just like Zacharias did. You know what? Maybe there are times when I haven't been able to say anything. Maybe God just shut my mouth because he didn't want me to speak against somebody. Praise God for his grace. Amen? But what he wants me to do is come into that place where I'll begin to speak the things that he is speaking. Well, I will cast down the things of the flesh so that I won't speak against the things of God, that I won't allow my unbelief to manifest in the lives of others. He wants me to come to that place where I truly believe and just say, be it unto me, O God. And when the Lord gives me a word for someone else, that I would believe it and say, be it unto them, O God. Be it unto them. Be it unto them, O Lord. Bless them. Lord, I believe that they are blessed. And it's not based on any of their circumstances. It's based on the word of the Lord. Be it unto you. My soul does magnify the Lord before anything else does, before any of your circumstances. Wouldn't it be nice to know? Wouldn't it be nice to stand in that place of peace and just know, I am blessed of God, instead of having to wait for something good to happen in order to try to prove it to everybody. You know what I mean? Because if that's what makes you happy, if you step back and you say, well, God must be happy with me. Look at all the blessings I have. When those are gone, where are you going to stand then? And we all go through hard times. We've all been there. I don't know that there's anybody in here. I mean, bless your wonderful heart and humble heart that you would raise your hand this morning. But there is not one person that sits in this room that doesn't know by experience what it's like to be where you're at right now. And together, we bless you. Amen? I thank God for a humble heart that would be my example this morning. Thank you, Lord. But there's blessings that come in that. Man, God knows. My soul does magnify the Lord. It has nothing to do with my circumstances. My soul magnifies the Lord. Amen? My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Be it unto me. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. And you can put your name right in there. If you are willing to surrender your will and just want to see Him high and lifted up. If you will sacrifice and suffer your will in order to fulfill the will of the Father, you can call yourself a handmaiden or a slave of God. I am a doulos. By choice, I lay down my will that I might fulfill His. For He has regarded the low estate of His bondservant. He's regarded. How many of us would just like to know that we've been regarded by God? In the midst of the pit, in the midst of your work week, in the midst of the worst circumstances that could go on around you, isn't it nice to know that God regards you? I mean, even Elizabeth picks that up. Where did it go? Where's the verse? It's here. It is. It really is. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein He looked on me to take away my reproach of men. Verse 25. And where it says, He looked on me to take away my reproach among men, means He took notice to be eliminating my reproach among men. It's the same thing. He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Be it unto me, O God. That the generations that would follow me would look upon and know that I was blessed of God. Why? Because it'll be a testimony of God's faithfulness to them. And if they can see me blessed, then they can see themselves blessed. Amen? For He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Oh, He has. And He will. Be it unto me, O God. Be it unto me. And holy is His name. Be that unto me. May every mention of His name that comes out of my mouth, may the very mention of His name in my thoughts, may it be rendered holy. May it be honored. May it be feared. May it be respected in everything that I do. That I would never neglect the name of my Savior. In the name of my God. Be it unto me, O Lord. It's time to make these things personal. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Be it unto me. He has showed strength with His arm. Be it unto me. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. Be it unto me. Even if I have to be scattered in order to deal with the imagination of my heart, Lord, be it unto me. Deal with me, O Lord. Purge my heart. Take me through whatever I need to go through that I might be in that place. Be it unto me, O God, that I might glorify You and magnify You in my soul. He has put down the mighty from their seats. Be it unto me. And exalted them of low degree. Be it unto me. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich He has sent away empty. Be it unto me, O God. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Oh, be it unto me that He would remember me in His mercy. Amen? Amen? Make this personal. The things that are spoken here is the spirit of prophecy. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. And she is making a declaration that we can all take ownership of. You can believe it. Be it being unto me, O God. In the same way that she's glorifying God. These things aren't things that He's done already. She is rejoicing in the things and recognizing the things that she has heard about as an Israelite. She has heard of the faithfulness of God throughout the generations. And she is repeating those things and exalting those things, glorifying God in those things, in full belief that what has been spoken over her life is about to manifest. The day that she gave birth, she knew in her heart that it had been spoken that this is the Savior of the world. This is the Son of God. She knew in her heart, whether man doubted and disbelieved, it did not. Her state of being blessed had nothing to do with whether someone believed that she conceived by the Holy Spirit or whether they sat back and said she's a whore because she was pregnant out of wedlock. It had nothing to do with any of it. She considered herself blessed and knew in her heart that she conceived the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Ooh. Wow.
As He spake to our fathers Abraham and to his seed forever. And there's the part when you get into Galatians that it makes it very personal. Abraham's seed, what it speaks to specifically, is those that will believe by faith. Not based on their circumstances, but based by faith. I choose to believe. Be it unto me, O God. Amen?
Amen.
He knows our circumstances. And we spend all of our prayer time trying to make sure that He knows about our circumstances. Don't we? God, do you see how mad my wife makes me? Do you see how mad my children make me? Lord, do you see that I don't have any money in my bank account right now? And He's saying, if you just be quiet and believe and listen to the word I'm speaking and believe into it, it's all taken care of. Do you see the accusations people make against me? Yes, I do. Then what would you do? What if you heard God say, I hear you. Where are you going to go from there in that argument? You ever think about that? Lord, do you see how bad my circumstances are? Yes. You think you can help a guy out? Think about it. There are some hurting people out there right now. And maybe you're hurting. There are hurting people out there right now. I have witnessed this week walking into a home and seeing a refrigerator with no food in it. Guess what? Opportunity for me to believe into who God has created me to be that I might bless them. Amen? But you got to open your eyes. You got to care enough. You got to be willing to walk into that house. You got to be willing to get in somebody's business. You got to be willing when the phone rings and you can't go, well, I'm busy with this right now. No, you got to be willing to lay it all down and just get right smack dab in the middle of it. And what's God telling you to do? Because even when you think you don't have enough, you do. Michael? Got to get up and move when He tells you to, huh? Yeah? It's a good point that He brings up. Mary. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. Ah! Mary believed into the first advent of Christ. Will we believe in His second? Will we believe as the bride of Christ? Will you believe when the Word says that when you believe in Christ that you are His bride, will you believe that He's returning for you? Will you believe that He's going to come back and every eye will behold His return? And He will claim His kingdom here on earth. Will you partake of that kingdom now or are you going to wait for Him to come back? It's made available for us right now. The King that's going to return in the glory of the clouds is the same one that will speak to you and will speak to me right now. By faith. Got to believe into that word that I hear in my heart. Don, you had something?
Well, sir, you and I first met in the Word, and that's the first beatitude. And if you get these guys have walked with Jesus for 2 years. These are what you call religious men, obviously. They hit tabernacle. They've seen all the miracles. They've walked with Jesus. They've not just talked to him. They've walked with him. They've been with him. And yet, he sets them down on the mountain. He tells them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not what we have taken possession of by seeing, hearing, or experiencing. It's surrendering like Mary did. Let it be that way unto me. I surrender to the will of God. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will. And only after that does the real wonderful stuff of interpersonal relationship begin to take place in the Beatitudes. If we aren't willing to surrender to God, nothing else happens.
You gotta know this for yourself
before you'll see it in everybody else too. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you believe into the word of the God that is spoken into you? Do you believe in who you are in Christ? Because if you don't, you will not be able to see it in others. You'll hope for it in others, but you really won't see it for what it is. God has a word for each one of us in here this morning. Will we take that time to listen for it? Will we take that time to say, you know what, Lord? I don't know how you're going to do that to me, because I'm a wretch. I mean, look at my past. Lord, look what I did yesterday. Look what I did this morning before service. You know what I mean? Look what I did in all of this. And it says, are you going to believe into it or not? Blessed is a state of being not based on circumstances, but established by the believing of the word of the Lord. It's time to believe into His word. Amen? Michael? But see, the reason that you hear His voice now, and I believe you do, the reason that you hear His voice so good now is because you've been through some of the things in your life. He never left you or forsake you. He was there with you the whole time. It's bringing you into that point where you believe into that. And now in the midst of bad circumstances, you know by faith, Jesus, I know you're here with me right now. Will you move on my behalf? You see how that works? It's not based, your position in Christ is not based on your circumstances. Okay? And if you are in Christ, then that means our circumstances are based on that position in Him. Amen? Whether we think they're good or bad. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's face it, young and old alike, we've all been through stuff in our life. We've all experienced loss. We've all had hardships. We've all been through stuff. Okay? But you're blessed, not based on your circumstances, but by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that was spoken into Michael as a child, that as grandparents were spoken into him. The word of the Lord will not return void. These things that were spoken into you, you're sitting here for a reason. I'm just going to guess there's some little part of you that believes in God since you're at church this morning. I mean, I can't believe that we're all just here for Christmas because it's the right thing to do. Amen? We're here because we believe. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm believing into God for a whole lot more than what my circumstances dictate right now. Okay? He's my Savior. He's my Deliverer. He's my Healer. Amen? Are you blessed?
Yes.
Be it unto us, O God. Be it unto us this day. And Lord, be it unto us that our soul would magnify the Lord. Lord, it's in believing your spoken word. When we will believe it and not ask for a sign, Lord, that we will not question, how am I supposed to believe this? But Lord, we will believe into the word the same way that Abraham, when he said, take your family and leave this place. He believed and he got up and he moved. And because of it, because he believed, you declared him righteous. And he magnified the Lord. Lord, may it be the same way in us. Let's get our eyes off our circumstances, Lord, and get our eyes on You. Let's quit hearing the things of the world and the lies and the deceit of the world around us, O God, and let's cast it down that we might hear the Word of God, that we would magnify You, O God, and that we would be kingdom people. That the kingdom of God would go forth in grace and in truth and in mercy. I thank You, Lord, for the example of Mary. I thank You, Lord, for the example of Zacharias. I can relate with both. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word that has spoken to my spirit this week, Lord. I thank You for those that are here this morning, Lord, that they might receive Your Word. Blessed and highly favored. I give You praise this day. Amen.